energy network companies have welcomed move by the New South Wales and federal governments to back the upgrade of an interconnector that acts like a giant extension cord between New South Wales and Queensland. They say the $102 million in taxpayer support for Transgrid's QNI interconnector will make electricity more reliable as more renewables enter the system and old coal plants close. The project comes as the clock ticks down on the closure of AGL's Liddell coal-fired power station in the Hunter Valley. That's due in 2023. Matt Keane is the New South Wales Minister for Energy and the Environment, and I welcome him now to breakfast. Good morning.
Geraldine, good morning.
Now, your government privatised Transgrid 4 years ago. I think listeners would really want to know, why do taxpayers now have to fork out for this next project?
Well, Geraldine, taxpayers don't have to fork out for this project, and that's the beauty of what we've proposed. What we're doing is underwriting or using our balance sheet to give a guarantee to Transgrid that they can start the process of building the new infrastructure that we need to keep the lights on and drive prices down, whilst the assessment of whether that project stacks up is made. There is a regulatory investment process that's undertaken before Transgrid can build any new infrastructure. That's a long process. It takes about 2 years. So if we were to wait for that process to be completed, then we wouldn't have this important bit of infrastructure built in time for the closure of Liddell. So what we've done, we've brought it forward, we've fast-tracked it, and we're using our balance sheet to underwrite the purchasing of the equipment that's needed.
So will this be paid back? It's obviously designed, you know, if you read the material, and I'm going to come to that in a moment, there's just really this very fast track underway to make sure that the electricity stays on and the air conditioners stay on during summer. I couldn't quite grasp, though, whether underwriting meant that it was a sort of a form of loan or what.
What it means is that the underwriting agreement means that Transgrid can start building the Queensland interconnector before they have their final regulatory approval. So it's unlikely that the government or the taxpayer will have to actually fund anything, but it is backing up Transgrid in the event that they don't get regulatory approval, which we believe is very unlikely.
So it is, though, a temporary facility, is it? Do we put it like that?
That's correct. It certainly is. Government will only have to make payment under the underwriting agreement if regulatory approval isn't given by the Australian Energy Regulator.
Which you expect to be an approval, do you?
Absolutely. The Australian Market Operator has recommended that this is the infrastructure that needs to be built to keep the lights on when Liddell closes in 2023. All the independent advice is that this is the best investment or most cost-effective investment to ensuring that we have reliable power in New South Wales. So given that those recommendations have come from the independent bodies, everyone believes that this is a low-risk bet for the New South Wales government.
And in fact, it's part of a broader build that there's really going to be construction, or tell me if I'm wrong at any point, of 800 kilometres of new transmission lines from the border of South Australia to Wagga and an additional connection to Victoria's grid, and then, of course, onto Queensland. So this is all part of the Australian Energy Market Operator, AEMO's Integrated System Plan for the National Energy Market. Am I right?
That's exactly right. Liddell's capacity will be replaced by a combination of increased interconnection and new generation. That increased interconnection looks like the Queensland interconnector, the Victorian interconnector, and the New South Australian interconnector, which will bring cheap renewables into the New South Wales market. So we're doing everything possible to keep the lights on and drive prices down when some of our older coal-fired power stations come to the end of their technical lives.
I do detect a hint. I don't mean panic, but there's very much a sense of having to rush to anticipate the new needs. Is that in any shape or form true?
Look, Geraldine, it's true. It's fair to say that the climate wars have not delivered for New South Wales. The uncertainty in the market has delivered higher prices and stalled investment. So what we're trying to do is deliver that certainty back for the private sector and also build the new generation and transmission that's needed to ensure that prices come down.
How will they come down, though?
What we're doing is ensuring there's more supply into New South Wales. More supply means more choice, more competition, and lower prices. So that's why we need to build this infrastructure. Because of the climate wars, there has been a lack of investment in generation and transmission. That's been a major problem. We need to move on from the climate wars because they're not delivering for our state. And we need to build this generation and transmission to ensure that we can keep delivering for businesses and people in New South Wales.
Last week, the Origin Energy Chief Frank Calabria told me that extending the life of old coal plants without a strong carbon signal will extend the uncertainty we're all facing today. And he was particularly talking about the whole business of having a carbon signal price for storage. Now, is the are all government support, even talking about coal generation, making the situation worse for you trying to govern New South Wales?
Look, I'm not going to put ideology ahead of good science and economics. And I think that the people of New South Wales have three expectations of their government and the entities who participate in our electricity system. They want the lights to stay on, power costs to stop increasing, and they expect decisive and responsible action when it comes to tackling the issue of climate change. Now, Geraldine, a decade ago, the challenge was to decarbonise a reliable grid despite the economics. But today, the economics are decarbonising the grid. And the challenge is to ensure that that grid remains affordable and reliable. So that's why we're building new infrastructure like these interconnectors to ensure that the lights stay on and prices come down. You know, our energy market has undergone a massive transition in the last decade. Today, more than 2 million Australians have solar panels on their roofs. The cost of wind and solar has fallen dramatically, and there's been more than 100 wind and solar farms that have been built in that time. In fact, right now in the New South Wales planning system, we have over 17,000 megawatts of new generation ready to come into the grid. The challenge for us is how we get those electrons into the system, and that's where new transmission comes in.
And is that all part of the Morrison government's new Liddell task force, which is talking about the closure of Liddell, which I think has even been pushed out to 2023. What's this task force trying to achieve?
Well, the Liddell Task Force is an opportunity for the New South Wales and Commonwealth Government to work together to look for the most cost-effective and reliable ways to keep the lights on and drive prices down when Liddell closes in April of 2023. We're working through all scenarios. We're looking at everything from keeping Liddell open to other forms of cheaper replacement of that generation.
But not like-for-like. See, the Morrison Government has talked about a like-for-like replacement of Liddell, which would mean some form, I assume, of new coal. Do you favour that?
What I favour is looking at the impacts of the closure of Liddell and what that will have on New South Wales. And we want to make sure that new generation is built in New South Wales well before our existing power plants close. So we'll look at all options on the table. We'll be guided by the science and guided by the economics.
I think that means a no.
Well, no. What it means is we're looking at all options, and I want to make sure the taxpayer gets best bang for their buck.
A recent Grattan Institute report suggested that if the federal government couldn't come up with an energy policy, state governments should go it alone and negotiate a state-based but nationally consistent emissions reduction policy. Would New South Wales join such a move?
What we're focused on is keeping the lights on and driving prices down, and we'll work with the Commonwealth and the other states and territories to deliver that outcome. But I'm working very well with Minister Taylor, and this announcement yesterday is a great example of that, where we're splitting the cost 50-50 with the Commonwealth Government to deliver new transmission lines into New South Wales. And I welcome the opportunity to work with my state and federal colleagues to deliver a better outcome for New South Wales. And that's exactly what we'll continue to do, Geraldine.
Yes, but I mean, it's $102 million in taxpayer support. You say it's split. Taxpayers may look on and say, we can do better than this, you know. We really can be a much better organised, systematic planner than this type of catch-up policy?
Well, we're focused on delivering for the taxpayers, businesses and families of New South Wales by delivering the cheapest, most reliable energy generation that is possible. We're working with the Commonwealth Government to deliver that, and there's a long way to go. We've got some big challenges ahead of us. By 2032, 60% of our coal-fired power stations will exit the market, and we need to plan for an orderly transition. Now, those coal-fired generators will be replaced by a combination of technologies, which include increased interconnection, wind, solar, hydro, and new emerging storage and hydrogen technologies. There will be a role for coal in the future, but what we need to make sure is that we have an orderly transition, which is not which is, and we should learn from Victoria, which has had the early closure of coal-fired power stations without the appropriate replacement.
That I might add, their particular part of the interconnector is not being paid for by public money.
Well, that's because there's no risk there to that project not going ahead. Transgrid are underwriting the payment of that infrastructure, and they've chosen not to do that. But Transgrid, being a private operation, have said that that they don't want to take the risk on building the Queensland interconnector while the assessment process goes for the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. So what we've said, we need you to build that kit. That's why we want you to start the process and bring it forward. That's why we're underwriting the process, which will bring that investment forward by about 11 months. Mm.
Incidentally, can you suggest how much they might come down by?
Yeah, we believe prices will come down by about $10. But $10 a year from accelerating the upgrade of the Queensland Interconnector, and along with the upgrade of the Victorian Interconnector by 2021, 2022. Over the longer term, the Queensland Interconnector upgrade will promote more competition from energy providers, bringing down electricity prices for New South Wales households. So this is also about reducing the costly risk of blackouts during summer's peak demands. And that 190 megawatts that will be delivered by this interconnector could be the difference between blackouts and business as usual.
All right, Matt Keane, thank you very much for joining us.
Great to talk to you, Geraldine.
Matt Keane, the New South Wales Minister for Energy and the Environment.